Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
That line falls on the right, babe.
Oh, yes, it does.
Not that Maggie's back in town.
Yes, sir, goes. Yeah. Me. Yes, sir! Yes, sir! How we doing on this Monday morning? 202 on the Fan. 888-808-1019. That's the number. We'll be taking your calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Rami Lavi on the other side. And we got you here for 3 hours, as we do most days, especially on Monday. And what a Monday it is! So much to react to. Where do I go first? I don't know. Let's start with the football. We'll get to the Mets and just their, despite the loss, the craziness that continues with the Mets, the likes of which we have never seen. A disappointing loss, no doubt. They're always disappointing, but ultimately they took one in Philadelphia and they'll move on to come back home for the first time in, I think it's 3 months. But let's start with the football here. And we'll get to the baseball, but my God, if it wasn't the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the Jets were both the bad and the ugly, but you know what? It's a positive day. I want to be positive. Let's start with the Giants just for a second, because I'll tell you what right now. That game, heading into that spot, without Neighbors, without Singletary, going into a very difficult place to play against the Seattle team, that's one of, or we thought, the better teams in the NFC. A team that kicked the crap out of the Giants last year and Daniel Jones. And to head into that building and play the way they played, let me just tell you something right now. That is a performance that has me believing in the combination of Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones. Right? That's the kind of performance, especially from the head coach. Because honestly, heading into that spot, off of the brutal loss against the Cowboys, to go into Seattle, a place that's notoriously tough to play without your best players. And I was concerned about what this offense was going to look like. I was concerned about how this team was going to respond, going down 1-3, losing their best player. and having to go play a very difficult game. And you know what I loved about it? First and foremost, and I was talking about this with Lori in the newsroom. When you're off a week and a half, when you have that extra time to prepare, you're supposed to look like a football team with a plan. It's supposed to look like what the Giants showed you. And man, did they ever look like a team with a plan. And not only that, resilient. To come off of that fumble, the great fumble at the end zone, which again, I've watched it a million times. It looks like he crosses the plane before the fumble, whatever the case may be. This game isn't even relatively close if not for that play. And the way the Giants respond off a 14-point swing, and the way Daniel Jones played this game and the way the game was called and the ability after, you know, the start of the season and watching Neighbors become what we've seen him become and seeing Daniel Jones rely on him as much as we've seen Daniel Jones rely on him and all the targets and all the throws and every big spot. And sure, Wendell Robinson has played well and he's had some moments inside the game, but it's been so important to get Neighbors going. To have Daniel Jones finally have a number one receiver and to head into this game without him and to be able to distribute the football and actually use the tight ends and have, you know, Tyrone Tracy step up and run the football the way he ran the football and have the game plan from this coaching staff. To have the defense who now leads the NFL in sacks. I thought this was supposed to be a vanilla defense. A defense that doesn't take chances. A bend-but-don't-break defense. Instead, you've got Dexter Lawrence, who's playing like the best tackle in the NFL, getting after the quarterback. You're blitzing. You're getting home with Burns. You're getting home with Thibodeau a little bit. You're getting home, clearly, with Dexter Lawrence. But you're throwing creative blitz. They didn't know how to respond, the Seattle team, to start the game. And yes, ultimately, the Giants could have done what the Giants do. And they're a blocked field goal away and a great play from Simmons from possibly going to overtime, and I don't know what would have happened, okay? But to me, still at 1-3, it's not even about the wins and losses necessarily. It's about how they're playing the game. And Daniel Jones, for all of my takes on Daniel Jones and everything I've said about him, and I still don't, like, some of my core beliefs on Daniel Jones aren't going to change off of 1 week. They aren't even going to change off of the last 3 weeks where he's played relatively well. Last week, he could not hit the deep pass. And he said one of the more dumb things or one of the more confounding things I've ever heard. He acted last week like he was Goldilocks. And talking about the deep balls, he said, well, last week, I overthrew it. So this week, I thought, well, maybe I'll underthrow it. Because I don't want to overthrow it. So it was like, oh, I overthrew it 1 week. I figured, why not try the underthrow and see what happens? Well, today he found the bed that fit just right because he hit Slayton for the touchdown, obviously. He had Slayton down the sidelines on a perfect throw. Daniel Jones not only made the throws, and Daniel Jones not only has continued to show his athleticism, even coming off the knee injury, which is no more of a problem for me. That's a thing of the past. Other than his ability to possibly get hurt again, it's not hampering him really in any way. But Daniel Jones' toughness, and even while I was killing Daniel Jones, and I'm sure there will come a time where I kill him again, but he's been really good despite missing throws last week. This game against Seattle, not only does he make all the throws, not only does he spread the football around, but man, if he isn't a tough son of a gun who puts his shoulder down and doesn't shy from contact, it's probably part of the reason he's dealing with a blown out knee. It's probably part of the reason he's been dealing with a neck injury over the last 3 years. And it's probably not smart. But what it shows me is this son of a gun is tough. And that's how the Giants played yesterday. The Giants went into a football game after an ugly loss to Dallas, where they had every opportunity to win a game and continue to shoot themselves in the foot, the same way they did against Washington, the same way they've done like over the last 2 years, almost on every Sunday. And they came out against a team who needs this game, a team who's playing in a tough division and had an opportunity to go 4-1, and the Giants absolutely went in there and dominated this football game, dominated it physically. And unfortunately, mistakes, that big turnover at the goal line led it to be a lot closer than it was, and there was an opportunity to blow this game at the end. But this Giants team showed resilience. This Giants team showed that Brian Daboll is a legitimate head coach. And I think that's been important here because he's been under the microscope. And we've talked about whether or not he's on the hot seat, and I felt like he was on the hot seat at some point this year. I don't think he would ever get fired midseason, but I thought this was a big year for him. And I didn't think it was just a fait accompli that, you know, he's got reassurance from the owner and why they don't want to make decisions like this. They don't want to constantly have change inside the GM and head coaching room. But ultimately, if the offense continued to look like it did last year, if it continued to look like it did week one against the Minnesota Vikings, it was going to be a problem. But they came out in this game. The offensive line has really done a nice job pass protecting. Tracy looked every bit as good as Singletary, if not better. Ran the ball hard, can be dynamic in the passing game as a converted wide receiver from college. And the play calling and the ability to move the ball and these long sustaining drives where the first half, the time of possession is ridiculous. Seattle was barely on the field. They were able to shut down the run game, get after the quarterback, get home seven times. They lead the NFL in sacks. They're creating a culture here. We talk about finding an identity with these teams, right? We don't know what the Giants' identity is because of the quarterback situation and mainly the injuries, because of the inability to block at the offensive line, because of the inability to have a wide receiver who can make plays, because of the lack of talent on the defensive front. Or in the defensive side of the ball, in the defensive backfield, the defensive front actually does have some talent. But there's really been an inability to define what this team does well and to define who they are. And right now, they're making it easy. Right now, they get after the quarterback. Number one. That's the number one identity. They are getting after the quarterback. And number two, their quarterback is tough. And when Malik Nabers is out there, you have someone you can count on as the number one wide receiver that he can go to. And if not, you've got Wandale Robinson who can run the route, be shifty, make people miss. When he runs, you know, sometimes he's frustrating with how he runs routes short of the stick, but he's able to make people miss. He's shifty enough to get first downs. And we see Slayton even, like Hyatt, forget about him. I mean, Hyatt's in a situation where he should come in and be dominant in this football game or at least have an opportunity to make some plays. We don't see him. But Slayton has shown you the ability and the connection with this quarterback. Wandale Robinson has shown you. And right now, if you look at it, the what this team does good and the identity of this team is they get after the quarterback. And right now, the quarterback is playing smart inside the offense and taking some chances down the field. This was the first game. As well as we could say Daniel Jones has played in prior weeks. And he has, right? He's been accurate. The completion percentage has been really good. For the most part, in my mind, he played just well enough to lose some football games. And yes, it was dangerous in the idea that it could have possibly happened again yesterday. But ultimately, he made the plays down the field. He was down his guy. They were down a running back. They were going to a very difficult place to play. And instead, offensively, the offensive game plan was very good. He not only was he accurate, but he was accurate down the field for the first time this year. They get after the quarterback and they shut down this run game for Seattle, and they made it very difficult for Geno Smith, and that is a good win on the road, having to overcome a 14-point swing at the goal line. That is a very good performance from this Giants team. And you're starting to wonder now, forget the hot seat and this coach, you're starting to really wonder if they continue to play like this. Now, I don't know if they're going to compete for a postseason spot. The division's tough. Washington with Daniels looks like a legitimate force inside the NFC. The Cowboys with a big win last night, despite not playing overly well against Pittsburgh. And Philadelphia, even though they have issues, you know how talented they are. I don't know where they are inside this division. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I don't know if they're even a playoff contender at the moment. But what I do know is they got off the deck. And this coach looks like he's a legitimate head coach again. And it looks like right now the quarterback is playing well enough where you can envision a future with these two. I don't know how we'll feel about it. I still have concerns about him staying healthy. I still don't love the contract. But if they play like this, you might envision a future with the two of them tied at the hip. Instead of begging, which I have, begging for this coach to finally get a young quarterback and be able to develop him like he developed Josh Allen out in Buffalo. Yesterday was the first real day, and it's led up by playing well over the last few weeks, but yesterday was the first real day where it felt like maybe, just maybe, there is a future for these two tagged together as quarterback and coach, because we know how important it is. It's owner, it's GM, it's quarterback, it's coach.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The four staples of your franchise. And there's been a lot of questions over the last few years about the ownership. There's been a lot of questions about this GM. There's been a lot of questions about the coach, and forget it about the quarterback. And right now, it feels like at least those last two in this game make me think there's an actual future with the two of them. And then we get to the ugly and the New York Jets. And I got to it second because I don't like yelling early out. I want to get my throat into form before I go nuts on what is an impossible team to watch. And listen, I know we're going to talk about the coach, and the coach is terrible. All right, I'm not saying he's not. Right, going into the season, we knew this coach was going to be the biggest question mark of this team, right? The offensive line, sure. Some other things, sure. Aaron Rodgers' health, sure, which is clearly a question now. But everyone went in saying the coach is going to drag them down. And while I've seen no evidence that that's not the case, we've seen the penalties forever. We saw the defensive penalties. Now, look, some of them are just ridiculous. And Jefferson gets you can't go near him without getting a penalty. I understand that. But still, too many penalties. We saw a delay a game in this game as well. They're a sloppy football team, no doubt. The coach has done absolutely nothing to make me feel any better about him than we did heading into the season. Any question mark that I still had, and I tried to say that, I don't know. I don't know about Salah. I don't know about Salah. Well, he's doing nothing to make me feel like we're getting any sort of answer in the positive. Now, having said that, I put less blame on him than I do the quarterback and Hackett. I'm sorry. The defense, which is the coach right now, and we can argue about the dynamic that the Jets have set up. It's a fair question, and we can have that discussion. But here's the dynamic of the New York Jets. You've got Robert Saleh as the de facto head coach, but ultimately the leader of the defense. That's what he is. And I know they said on the broadcast, he made a point to be in every single quarterback room. Yeah, okay. He's in the quarterback room. Great. He's watching film with the quarterbacks. We know who the leader of the offense is. The leader of the offense is Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett. That's the dynamic of the team. You want to blame clock management at the end of games, which there's certainly been an issue. Head coach, you want to blame the overabundance of penalties, considering it's been a problem for the last handful of years? Let's blame the coach. But if you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers and how this offense functions and how it looks to pretty much start every single game other than maybe the Patriot game, which looks like a cruel joke right now. That shining moment that we talked about where Evan opened the show talking about pinch me, pinch me. Where we couldn't believe it, we were talking, beating the Patriots. I know they're bad, but finally beating the Patriots and watching Rodgers play like that and watching that offense function like that. And you felt like they're going to build on this. And instead, that feels like a cruel joke that you're never going to see again. And there were things I thought you might see from Rodgers. And then there were things I thought were guarantees with Rodgers, even at 40 years old. Is it like he's as inaccurate as I've ever seen him? I didn't see that coming. Could I see him hobbling around? Yeah. Could I see him having leg issues? He's clearly having. Sure. Could I see him not be able to do some of the great things he used to do? Be able to throw off balance from any arm slot, from any footwork, off, you know, running off guys, stepping up into the pocket, getting hit while throwing and still making accurate throws. Like, did I think there was a chance we wouldn't see that anymore? Sure. Did I think that into week five, with this offense, with his handpicked coach, with a guy he's won MVPs with Lazard, who he's played with an offensive line and a cadence that he's been with all camp long over the course of 2 years, even though he didn't play, did I think I would continually see him as off page with his wide receivers as he is right now? No, I did not. Did I think I would see some of the same mistakes, the delay of game, I know they're forcing it to Garrett Wilson at the start of this game. And that's great. That's great. Right? We've been talking about getting Garrett Wilson involved. But ultimately, they're still not on the same page. There's still so many plays where, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, listen, Rodgers was looking for the back shoulder throw there. It's like, and they're just sprinting down the field. How does the offense look like this? I know Rodgers was bad. The interception over the middle sailed on him. Early in this game, he made a bunch of bad throws. He was better in the second half. It's the bad throws I get. We don't typically see them. And as inaccurate as he's been, we don't typically see it. But I can sort of come to my, I can say, look, he's 40, he's rusty, he's banged up a little bit, he sailed a throw. Like, as unlikely as it is to see it as much as we've seen it, I can tell myself, all right, that's part of it. He's got to get better. But the idea that the offense doesn't look like they practice together, I did not think I would see. That I did not expect. Last week, I did not expect all the pre-snap penalties with Aaron Rodgers. I did not see him and his great players. I didn't think I would see a step back from Garrett Wilson. I did not think I would see a step back from Breece Hall. I did not think I would see a step back in overall offensive functioning, which you could argue, other than Thursday, we are seeing the Zach Wilson-led Jets. I did not see that. I did not see that coming. And that, I mean, so we could blame the head coach. Let's blame him. Let's call, and everyone can call up and tell me, Robert Saleh's got to go. I can't watch it anymore. He's a terrible head coach. All he does is wave the pom-poms. I hate his facial expressions. The team continues to get bad penalties. We can give the whole myriad, the flat, they come out flat to start every game. Every one of those things is accurate. Every one of them is accurate. But if you watch these games, whether it's the games they've won or it's the games they've lost, they have been and should have been able to overcome all of that. Now, should they have to? Do you want to have to overcome your head coach? No. No one's saying that. But I'm watching Aaron Rodgers, and I'm watching a player who I cannot believe looks like this. And I don't care he's old. I don't care he's hobbled. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. They can't run the football. He's missing. Like, I've watched a lot of Aaron Rodgers, right? As much as anyone, with the red zone or whatever, and just Aaron Rodgers played in a ton of games, and he's one of the great quarterbacks, so he's been on prime time all the time. I don't ever remember Aaron Rodgers getting blindsided with a blitz as much as I've seen him. We talked about going in, or at least I did, that I thought it was a good matchup against Minnesota for the specific reason of Minnesota's defense has done a really good job mixing up coverages, throwing exotic blitzes. Flores has done a really nice job confusing young quarterbacks, confusing Daniel Jones in week one. Like, he's done a really nice job with that. I did not expect that to be able to work on Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know if the talent level of Minnesota is all that good. I think they've been really well coached and well prepared, and they throw exotic things at you, and that's how they've been able to work. I did not expect Aaron Rodgers to fall for the same stuff that Daniel Jones fell for week one. I did not expect 3 interceptions. I did not expect still showing the inability to be on the same page with Wilson and Williams and Lazard. Like, I just don't get it. And the fourth, you know, I understand. Listen, they passed up points early on. I like to get the zero off the board. I didn't think it was a great spot for it. But we talk about being aggressive. I'm not going to kill them for it. What I'm going to kill them for is the play call. Why is your running back 9 yards off the line of scrimmage when you need a yard? Why isn't that free edge guy picked up before he gets to the back in the backfield? Like, these are just textbook things that this team is missing. This is what I didn't expect. Could Rodgers be slow and old in the offensive line and be not good enough to get him banged up and look like he's laboring through a game? Okay, we could have expected that. I did not expect some of the simple, offensive, foundational pieces of being on the same page with your wide receiver, of picking up a blitz, of recognizing a free man when he's gonna be there. Like, these are things I didn't expect. So we can yell about Saleh. He's not good. You can fire and bring in someone else. You can fire Nathaniel Hackett and bring in another offensive coordinator. The leader of this team and the leader of this offense is Aaron Rodgers. And he can preach that people don't believe in him, and he can preach relax, and he can preach he still has faith in this team, and maybe they'll turn it around. But right now, it goes so far beyond rust. It goes so far beyond him getting beat up. It goes so far beyond his Achilles injury. There are fundamental offensive issues that I thought immediately get fixed with Aaron Rodgers. Not that he's old, not that he sailed a throw, not that there's, you know, some, you know, lack of the greatness that once was Aaron Rodgers, because we've seen it. We've seen him not be able to make the perfect throw in the awkward situation like we have year in and year out for his whole career. I could have seen that coming. Throwing balls at people's feet, I didn't necessarily see coming. And throwing balls when the wide receiver runs in the opposite direction, I did not see coming. Robert Saleh is the defensive head coach, and the defense limited in offense, and Sam Darnold, who was the MVP of the league, to no touchdowns and a pick, and somehow gave this team opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get back into this game where they're throwing for the tie late in the game. The defense did its job. This head coach's unit did its job. What the hell is going on with Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett? Why can't they have a functioning offense? Why can't they look like they've practiced? Why can't they be on the same page even if they fail? Why are there star players that we put so much credence into playing worse than they did with Zach Wilson? How is that possible? 888-808-1019. I can see it already. Jarvis wants to talk about Saleh needs to go. I get it. I can't argue with you. But it's not, it seems like it's number one on everybody's list. It's not one on mine. It's not. What is the head coach going to come in here and do? A head coach is going to come in here and change the fact that Rodgers can't hit his wide receivers? That he's looking for back shoulder throws and they're cutting in? What is the head coach going to do with that? Unless you're going to bring in an offensive-minded head coach to take over the offense. Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers are the issue with this team. Robert Saleh is the third issue with this team. 888-808-1019. We'll start with the football. A very impressive, I have to admit, a very impressive performance from the Giants. From the physicality of it, from the ability to bounce back after a 14-point swing, from the ability to the quarterback to adjust to the deep ball, be as accurate and distributed all over the place without his number one target, the defense to get after the quarterback in a way we kind of weren't expecting with this new defensive coordinator, and just an overall impressive road win for a Giants team that felt like they were on life support. And then we get to the Jets, and what can you say? 888-808-1019. We will turn our attentions to the Mets and the playoffs. We'll talk a little Yankees as we preview game two later tonight. And they're very solid, very good win in game one. Because I know everyone wants to harp on the negatives. Exactly. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, taking you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Your phone calls next right here on The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.